is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleague Michael Yan, war correspondent, who is in Panama City to recount his activities of these last days with his colleagues, exploring the still unknown journey between Colombia and the Mexican border with the United States by migrants who are coming from all over the world, Senegal, Nepal, we've mentioned in the past. However, there are revelations here about large numbers of the migrants, sometimes 200 or 300 a day, emerging from the mountainous jungle that is between the Caribbean coast of Colombia and the end of the Panama Highway. There's a gap. The Panama Highway ends suddenly, and there's a triple canopy jungle, mountainous, and what is called the Darien National Park before you come to the Colombian border. That jungle is what the migrants must traverse, sometimes with guides, sometimes getting lost, for 6 or 8 days. However, with his colleague Chuck Holton, Michael flew to the edge of the Colombia border on the Caribbean, an airfield, a very rough-looking airfield from the trip. But in any event, we're going to fly with Michael from Panama City to Puerto Albaldía. Michael, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. You and Chuck and another colleague, a journalist from Japan, flew to Puerto Albaldía in a small aircraft. What's important is what you learned in Puerto Albaldía. First, you've told me that this is not an Umbara village. That's the indigenous people on both sides of the border, Colombia and Panama. This is a Kuna village. First of all, what is the status of the airfield? What is the status of the village you visited? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening. It's from Panama City. It's actually it's on the Kuna Yala Indian Reservation. Puerto Albaldía is a small airstrip. I flew down there with Chuck Holton and the famous Japanese correspondent, Masako Ganaha, who's been tracking the story as well. And it's right near the Colombian border. So the migrants will go through, they'll either end at Turbo down in Colombia or Copacabana, and then they join into the Darien Gap, seriously getting into the jungle over the mountains. And then they'll come through Puerto Albaldía. That's the first village they'll come to in Colombia.
In Panama, Puerto Albaldía is in
Panama. I'm sorry, in Panama.
I want to stop you at Puerto Albaldía because I learned from your presentation that 20 more or more years ago, it was a handful of migrants coming through Puerto Albaldía, and it was possible to fly, to rent an aircraft or to somehow get on an aircraft and fly from Puerto Albaldía to Panama City. In other words, the same route you flew when you flew to Puerto Albaldía. However, that is stopped. That is no longer the case. Why is that? What did you learn in Puerto Albaldía about the migrants today?
Right. They don't do it any longer. And so now the Cinefront is out there. The Cinefront is their border patrol. And in fact, we saw a Cinefront helicopter fly over us and go into the mountains when we were there. The Cinefront's out there, and they keep the migrants away from the village of Puerto Albaldía. And they say that they do this because of the pandemics. And so, you know, there's been quite, in fact, a coyote that we spoke with in Puerto Albaldía, he said that his father died in November from the pandemic. And then two other people sitting at the same table were saying, you know, from the same village were going, oh, the pandemic is nothing. And then he's going, well, my dad died in November. So anyway, the Cinefront is keeping away the migrants from the villagers. And so now the migrants don't have any final support before they go into the jungle. Seriously, like that hard trip to across the mountains down to Bajo Chiquito.
You learn more from Puerto Albaldía. This is the hot zone, a video made by Chuck Holton that you can find at Michael's patreon.com site to witness the scale of this. You've got to see a triple canopy jungle from the air and then land in a triple canopy jungle and understand that it's humblingly large with large rivers, and it's rainy season now. You know of at least one Haitian family that crossed the inlet there from Colombia, one side of Colombia where the highway is, to Capergana, which is in Colombia. And then I'm presuming it used to be that you could walk from Capargana to Puerto Abaldi. Is that correct, Michael? You could walk through that or across the border.
Right. Before, it was, you know, much, well, I wouldn't say it was easier. It was never easy. It was very difficult. It was always deadly. But they had that last support village at Puerto Abaldi, at least, and they picked up coyotes there. And now the coyotes are not allowed to join them for a while, according to the coyotes said that other villagers, due to the economic devastation from the pandemic, were becoming, you know, coyotes for the migrants, and they had no experience, and so they were sending them on wrong routes, not through any, you know, maliciousness. They just didn't know where to send them, or, you know, what the weather implications meant, that sort of thing. But of course, we also know that, you know, according to everybody out there, including the migrants, all of, they always say all the pretty women get raped, all the light skinned women get raped, almost all the Cuban women, all the Haitian women get raped going through there. So, I mean, rape, murder, robbery, this is part of the path into the small village the various small villages before they get out, such as, Bajo Chiquito.
What we're looking at here is a migrant flow that 20 years ago was a trickle, and therefore there was money to be made. But it's now a flood. That's an inadequate metaphor. People coming through from Colombia because they've been told that they can traverse all of Central America and reach the U.S. border with Mexico and find a way into the United States. That's what these migrants tell Michael and his colleagues when they visit with them. We're going to leave here on Puerto Abaldia because we're not certain of the route that the migrants take through 50 or 60 miles of jungle. You know, you don't walk in a straight line when you're in the jungle, and especially because you're going over mountains for 6 to 8 days. So we're going to go on to the other side of the gap. Michael, introduce the village, the Umbera village. We're leaving a Kuna village. Kuna are indigenous, a native tribe. We're going to the Umbera village of Bajo Chiquito. How big is that, and how is it that they receive the migrants?
Bajo Chiquito's got about 492 Umbera people, and there's also Cinefront there, which is the border patrol, and there's a Doctors Without Borders clinic there with one doctor. And so that's sometimes those 492 people are overwhelmed by up to 1,000 migrants at a time. As soon as you step off the dugout canoe into Bajo Chiquito, you can smell it. It stinks very badly. I've been out there 3 times. I tried to go 5 times, could not make it twice. And on the 3 other times I did make it, including when I took a congressman out there, so they just get overwhelmed. And many people, you know, they're concerned about, for instance, tuberculosis that they're bringing in, antibiotic resistant tuberculosis to be specific, and not to mention new strains of the COVID. A doctor that was out there recently told me that he was seeing COVID patients every single day among the migrants, you know, and so this is quite serious.
Michael, when they reach Bajo Chiquito, to call it a village, I've now seen it in several videos. To call it a village is not to describe the environment. They're on a river, a major river. There are no roads here. There's no electronics that I could see whatsoever, although you tell me there's a place where they can get cell tower connection back to Panama City if they go up high enough. But the houses are platforms on stilts or timbers. And as you come out of the jungle, you can camp underneath the platform for free, or you can camp on the platform for $3 a day per family. And what Chuck Holton says in his video is that the reason you want to be on the platform is because of the insects and the creatures on the ground. What insects and creatures, Michael? Did you spend a night out there?
Oh yeah, I haven't spent the night out there yet. I've spent plenty of nights in jungles, but not that one. Not there specifically anyway. But they actually, you know, include, centipedes and snakes, and of course snakes aren't insects, but, you know, the doctor out there told me that there are quite a lot of, snake bite fatalities. This is not like the United States where somebody occasionally every snake bite. These are places where people die all the time from snake bites. For instance, you know, you see the same thing in India and Bangladesh. People die literally many people per day from snake bites. So it's quite different here. So it's dangerous. This jungle is highly biologically active, even as jungles go, which is saying a lot. And it's very dangerous that most of the people come through have some sort of ailment. Almost everybody's limping. Most of the people have no shoes. So they're walking through, you know, literally scorpions and centipedes and the whole works.
All right. We've now made a trip that we skip the in-between part because we're not sure of the routes. We believe it has to do with the rivers, which are snake-like through the mountain region. This is a rainforest. You can't really see in it, even though Michael flew over it. So when we come back, we're going to talk about who it is that's arriving at Bio Jaquito and where they're coming from, because it's revelatory of the scale of this. Maybe 200 a day, maybe 400 a day. It's not determined yet. It's moving all the time. And Centerfront, the Border Patrol, is supposed to be keeping that border closed. But as Michael has taught me, it's impossible. Michael Yan of Patreon.com, Chuck Holton of The Hot Zone, and this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.